Chapter 18. More or less on the defensive. 6 hours of alert immobility, while the boat drove slowly or floated arrested, according to the caprice of the wind, while the sea, calmed, slept at last, while the clouds passed above his head, while the sky from an immensity lusterless and black, diminished to a somber and lustrous vault, scintillated with a greater brilliance, faded to the east, paled at the zenith, while the dark shapes blotting the low stars astern got outlines, relief became shoulders, heads, faces, features, confronted him with dreary stares, had disheveled hair, torn clothes, blinked red eyelids at the white dawn. They looked as though they had been knocking about drunken gutters for a week, he described graphically, and then he muttered something about the sunrise, being of a kind that foretells a calm day. You know that sailor habit of referring to the weather in every connection. And on my side his few mumbled words were enough to make me see the lower limb of the sun clearing the line of the horizon, the tremble of a vast ripple running over all the visible expanse of the sea, as if the waters had shuddered, giving birth to the globe of light, while the last puff of the breeze would stir the air in a sigh of relief. Apostrophe K sat in the stern shoulder to shoulder, with the skipper in the middle, like three dirty owls, and stared at me. I heard him say with an intention of hate, that distilled a corrosive virtue into the commonplace words like a drop of powerful poison falling into a glass of water. But my thoughts dwelt upon that sunrise. I could imagine under the pellucid emptiness of the sky these four men imprisoned in the solitude of the sea, the lonely sun, regardless of the speck of life, ascending the clear curve of the heaven, as if to gaze ardently from a greater height at his own splendor reflected in the still ocean. They called out to me from aft, said Jim, as though we had been chums together. I heard them. They were begging me to be sensible, and drop that blooming piece of wood. ... Why would I carry on so? They hadn't done me any harm, had they? There had been no harm. No harm. His face crimsoned, as though he could not get rid of the air in his lungs. ... harm, he burst out. I leave it to you. You can understand. Can't you? You see it, don't you? No harm. Good God! What more could they have done? Oh yes, I know very well I jumped. Certainly. I jumped. I told you I jumped, but I tell you they were too much for any man. It was their doing as plainly as if they had reached up with a boat hook and pulled me over. Can't you see it? You must see it. Come. Speak straight out. His uneasy eyes fastened upon mine, questioned, begged, challenged, entreated. For the life of me, I couldn't help murmuring, you've been tried. M more than is fair, he caught up swiftly. I wasn't given half a chance with a gang like that. And now they were friendly, oh, so damnably friendly. Chums, shipmates. All in the same boat. Make the best of it. They hadn't meant anything. They didn't care a hang for George. George had gone back to his berth for something at the last moment and got caught. The man was a manifest fool. Very sad, of course. Their eyes looked at me. Their lips moved. They wagged their heads at the other end of the boat, three of them. They beckoned to me. Why not? Hadn't I jumped? I said nothing. There are no words for the sort of things I wanted to say. If I had opened my lips just then, I would have simply howled like an animal. I was asking myself when I would wake up. They urged me aloud to come aft and hear quietly what the skipper had to say. We were sure to be picked up before the evening, right in the track of all the canal traffic. There was smoke to the northwest now. ... gave me an awful shock to see this faint blur, this low trail of brown mist through which you could see the boundary of sea and sky. I called out to them that I could hear very well where I was. The skipper started swearing, as hoarse as a crow. He wasn't going to talk at the top of his voice for my accommodation. Are you afraid they will hear you on shore? ... I asked. He glared as if he would have liked to claw me to pieces. The chief engineer advised him to humor me. He said I wasn't right in my head yet. The other rose astern, like a thick pillar of flesh and talked. Dot, dot, Jim remained thoughtful. Well, I said. What did I care what story they agreed to make up, he cried recklessly. They could tell what they jolly well liked. It was their business. I knew the story. Nothing they could make people believe could alter it for me. I let him talk. He went on. Suddenly I felt my legs give way under me. I was sick, tired to death. I let fall the tiller, turned my back on them, and sat down on the foremost thwart. I had enough. They called to me to know if I understood, wasn't it true, every word of it? It was true, by God. After their fashion. I did not turn my head. I heard them palavering together. The silly ass won't say anything. Apostrophe O, he understands well enough. Apostrophe, let him be, he will be all right. Apostrophe, what can he do? Apostrophe, what could I do? Weren't we all in the same boat? I tried to be deaf. The smoke had disappeared to the northward. It was a dead calm. They had a drink from the water breaker, and I drank too. Afterwards they made a great business of spreading the boat sail over the gunwales. Would I keep a lookout? They crept under, out of my sight, thank God. I felt weary, done up, as if I hadn't had 1 hour's sleep since the day I was born. I couldn't see the water for the glitter of the sunshine. From time to time one of them would creep out, stand up to take a look all round, and get under again. I could hear spells of snoring below the sail. Some of them could sleep. One of them at least. I couldn't. All was light, and the boat seemed to be falling through it. Now and then I would feel quite surprised to find myself sitting on the thwart. Dot, he began to walk with measured steps to and fro before my chair, one hand in his trousers pocket, his head bent thoughtfully, and his right arm at long intervals raised for a gesture that seemed to put out of his way an invisible intruder. Apostrophe, suppose you think I was going mad, he began in a changed tone. And well you may, if you remember I had lost my cap. The sun crept all the way from east to west over my bare head, but that day I could not come to any harm, I suppose. The sun could not make me mad. Dot, his right arm put aside the idea of madness. Dot, neither could it kill me. Dot, again his arm repulsed a shadow. Dot, that rested with me. Apostrophe, is it? I said, inexpressibly amazed at this new turn, and I looked at him with the same sort of feeling I might be fairly conceived to experience had he, after spinning round on his heel, presented an altogether new face. Apostrophe, didn't get brain fever, I did not drop dead either, he went on. I didn't bother myself at all about the sun over my head. I was thinking as coolly as any man that ever sat thinking in the shade. That greasy beast of a skipper poked his big cropped head from under the canvas and screwed his fishy eyes up at me. Dunnerwither, you will die, apostrophe he growled and drew in like a turtle. I had seen him. I had heard him. He didn't interrupt me. I was thinking just then that I wouldn't. He tried to sound my thought with an attentive glance dropped on me in passing. Do you mean to say you had been deliberating with yourself, whether you would die? I asked in as impenetrable a tone as I could command. He nodded without stopping. Yes, it had come to that as I sat there alone, he said. He passed on a few steps to the imaginary end of his beat, and when he flung round to come back both his hands were thrust deep into his pockets. He stopped short in front of my chair and looked down. Don't you believe it? He inquired with tense curiosity. I was moved to make a solemn declaration of my readiness to believe implicitly anything he thought fit to tell me. Apostrophe. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.